Matthew, the 6th chapter, if you want to turn while I pray. Dearly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the good songs. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for all the thoughts that have welled up in our heart already this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us in the hour we're in. I see you know the many individuals that are struggling that need your help, but you also see your work that is struggling and needs your help. And I pray you'll open our ears and our eyes that we might correctly see, that we might have a clearer vision, that we might know how to go forward in a better way. Help us anoint the speaking of your word, anoint the hearing of your word, that we might profit thereby. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we started our study on the kingdom of God. And this is a subject that if you read Jesus' teaching, this is a subject that was prominent in Jesus' teaching. I mean, this is, he used the kingdom of God interchangeably with salvation. I mean, that was interchangeable in his teaching. And I believe a study of this should help give us some clarity and some perspective and hope in the dark days that we find ourselves in. Last week in our study, we saw that the kingdom of God came with Jesus at his first coming. Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. He and his disciples preached the kingdom was at hand and imminent and coming in their lifetime. The apostles preached that the kingdom of God had come. The kingdom of God is where God rules. Right? I mean, the kingdom of God is the rule of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. God rules in our heart. But it's also made up collectively of all those who have submitted to the rule of God. The ultimate expression of the kingdom of God is heaven. And that is ultimately the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But that kingdom of heaven that has the ultimate expression in heaven, the new heavens, the new earth, where we have our new physical bodies, where we'll live forever, it has... invaded, if you will, this present time world. When Jesus came, he brought in the kingdom. It started small. He described that in parables we read last week. It grows unseen as leaven. Amen? But it's destined to success in this time world. I want to go a little further with that this morning. We may be here for a few weeks on the subject of the kingdom because I think it's important. But Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 9th verse this morning is where we're going to pick up. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Y'all know this, where this is from, right? Y'all know this is the opening of the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer because his disciples said, teach us to pray. And this is the model he gave them. And after opening the prayer with a proper respect for God, the first request in this model prayer is for God's kingdom to come to earth. And the coming to earth, the effect of that is thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is the rule of God, the reign of God, right? That's the kingdom of God. It's where God rules and God's reign. And we're taught to pray that God's will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. That's the opening of this prayer. God, your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this is not speaking of a future earth, a future time. This was a prayer for his disciples to pray then, for us to pray now. We were taught to pray that God's will, his kingdom come, and his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how's God's will done in heaven? What does that look like? What's your perspective of how God's will is carried out in heaven? Pretty perfectly, right? God's will is perfectly done in heaven, right? What do we expect in the new heaven and the new earth? When we die and we pass into the world to come, what do we expect that to be in terms of God's will being done? No sin, no sorrow, amen? God's will perfectly done. This prayer is for God's kingdom to come now, which Jesus preached that it would, His disciples preached that it had, His followers preached that it had indeed came and had its beginnings with Jesus coming, with the bringing of salvation, with His sacrifice for sin. Amen? Doing the will of God begins with obedience to God. We can't escape that, folks. I know this is not a popular message in Christian circles even today. But doing the will of God involves obedience to God. Amen? And obedience always begins in our heart. Because unless we have the intent to please Him, we're not really obeying. Ever. Amen? It begins with an intent to please God. An intent to obey Him. We want to please Him. We want to obey Him. Why? Because we love Him. Amen? Because we love Him for what He did on the cross and bringing salvation. 1 John 5:2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments and His commandments are not burdensome. This is the love of God. We know we love God and the children of God when our heart desires to do that which pleases God, to obey His commandments. The kingdom of God is God's rule in our heart. Amen? Amen. We've submitted to His rule because we love Him, because of what He did for us. We've submitted to God's rule in our life because of our love for God. This change takes place in salvation, in conversion, in the new birth. John 3:2. This man came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know You're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless You do, unless God's with him. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound, but you do not know where it comes from, where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. It's by the new birth that we enter the kingdom of God. Amen? We're told the kingdom of God is within us. Luke 17:20. And when He has demanded of the Pharisees that the kingdom of God should when the kingdom of God should come, He answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall you say, lo here, lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen? It's God's rule in our heart that brings the kingdom of God. We enjoy it collectively or individually, and then collectively, all those who enjoy the rule of God in their heart make up the physical kingdom of God here on earth. The effect of the kingdom of God, as Brother Webster testified, is peace within us and doing His will. Romans 4:17, for the kingdom of God's not meat, drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness is an essential element of the kingdom of God. Amen? And I know I'm emphasizing this morning, but I'm emphasizing this today because there's many today who claim to be Christians who make little effort to live a life completely pleasing to God. But that is the core of Christianity. That's the heart of it. Unless someone intends to please God, unless they truly love Him, they have not entered the kingdom of God. They're not saved. I don't mean to be harsh, but friends, we need the truth. We need to know the truth about knowing God. There's a lot of people who name the name of Christ who are in for a judgment day surprise, I'm afraid. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Before I go there, the rule of God, the kingdom of God is the rule of God. Amen? And the rule of God means doing God's will. We can't say He rules over us. if we're not subject to Him.
Yeah.
Amen? The Scriptures and all of God's revelation of Himself makes it clear that obedience is God's will. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hey, it isn't. Well, let me say this. It's saved by grace. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. But that saved by grace brings results into our life. We are not left where it found us. And the effects of salvation is a heart that desires to please God in everything all the time. Amen?
Yes.
The rule of life in the kingdom of God is obedience to Him. Striving for a holy life. Striving for a life of obedience to Him. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness, must not even be named among you as proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. This Christian life and in the kingdom of God is to produce a holy life.
Yes.
Amen? All of our lives to be lived to please God. Zechariah 14:20. In that day there shall be on the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots of the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seed therein. And in that day there will be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. The day of the Lord refers to the coming of Jesus. This prophecy looked forward to Jesus coming in the kingdom of God. And I want you to notice in this that everything was to be holiness unto the Lord. When Jesus came, it opened the door open to us for the holiest of holies, right? The veil was rent. Gentiles were in. All of us were allowed into the holiest of holies. But what I want you to notice, it was never a diminishing of that which was sacred.
Right.
It did not bring down that which was sacred, but instead elevated all of our life, the normal things.
Yep. Right.
Amen?
Yep.
To be done to please and honor God.
Yep.
That was the change that took place, folks. When we are to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's our expectation of conduct in heaven? How much sin is going to be there? If the kingdom of God is within us, how much sin should we tolerate in our own life? Amen? How are we to conduct ourselves in the kingdom of heaven? Remember, this is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Ultimate fulfillment is the new heaven and new earth we're going to. We know what that looks like, right? In the sense of there being no evil, no wickedness, no sin. It's come into this world. And it has invaded this time world, persuading men and women to submit themselves to the rule of God and come under into the kingdom of God. If we are one of those, what should our expectation of our life be? We don't like the answer to that, but we know the answer to that oftentimes, don't we? Amen? Why does the kingdom of God have a lesser effect sometimes than other times? Because oftentimes those who claim to be in the kingdom of God ain't behaving themselves as citizens of the kingdom of God.
That's true.
We need to get this straight, folks. What ails us as a people is sin. A disregard for God's will, a disregard for God's word. What ails us in the church is sin. A disregard for God, a disregard for God's word. Oh, varying degrees, but it's varying degrees throughout society too. Amen? And I say this because we need to think a little bit different. We have been privileged to be called into this great salvation and brought into the kingdom of God. And as such, we have an obligation to behave ourselves as citizens of the kingdom of God. So that ones looking on can see the change that salvation is to bring into our life. Amen?
Yes.
Our text instructs us to pray that God's will be done. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God's will begins with obedience to his word, but it doesn't stop there. It extends to every area of our life. I thought as Brother Webster was testifying, a true child of God desires God's will in everything, in all their decisions, in everything they do. Not satisfied with just lining up with the do's and don'ts, but they really want God's will in every part of their life, in every decision they make in life. James 4:13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town, spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows to do the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Was there any evil in what these folks were planning? No, they weren't breaking any commandment. They were planning a business venture, right? They were planning out a business venture. There was no commandment against anything they were doing. Why did Jesus then, or why did James, God speaking through James, why did he rebuke them? What was the problem? Well, they hadn't taken God's will into consideration. They assumed they could just plan and do it. Live their life. As long as they didn't break any commandments, they could just do what they wanted to do otherwise. James starts by reminding them how short and fragile life is. And he said, what you ought to be saying is, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. Look at verse 16, 17. He says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. What's that arrogance? Self-sufficiency. Amen? Self-sufficiency is the enemy. Self is the enemy of your life with God. Amen? The competing forces in your life is self and God. Satan is on self's side and trying to stir that up. But people make choices not between Satan and God. They're making choices between pleasing themselves and pleasing God. That's a real choice. Self-sufficiency, apart from a reliance, true reliance on God, is evil.
Yep.
Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
God has a plan for this world. As I said before, God didn't just create this world as an experiment. He didn't just create this world on a whim. He didn't create it for his amusement. God had a plan in creating this world. Amen? God had things he intended to accomplish in creating this world. The primary accomplishment of that is finding individuals who have the capacity to know him, to see him as he is, and to respond to him in love, to gather them to himself to spend all of eternity with. Because everything else is going to vanish away. Those who reject God are going into a lost eternity. All the physical world that we now see is vanishing away. Out of this whole creation, the only thing that will remain is those who have voluntarily chose to love God in return for His love. Submitted themselves to God. Amen. Been brought into right relationship with Him by the new birth and lived their life to please Him. And those will take, God will take, to be, that's what's in this for God. That's what God's plan is, to save as many as He can out of His creation. That's His plan. God also has a plan for your life. And His plan for your life fits in His plan for the world. Because He uses those of us who have been brought into His kingdom to extend His kingdom. Those who know God, He uses to help others come to know God. So God, in His great plan for this world, has a plan for your life. And your life fits into His plan. Amen? That's why doing His will is far more than just obeying. That's the foundation. Without a life focused on obedience, you can't really claim to have a love for God. That claim's false. James, First John especially trounces that argument, right? It's plain enough, you can read it and you'll understand as much as you care to understand. Amen? Doing the will of God means we recognize we're dependent on Him in everything, looking to Him for guidance and direction in our life and everything, because we want His will for our life so that it fits harmoniously with His plan for the world. Amen? We want His will for our life, and that begins with living a life of obedience, a holy life, but that isn't all there is to it. I say that because I see many Christians today who have become discouraged with the work of God and have withdrawn. I mean, they continue to live a life of obedience, but their heart is no longer in the work of God. Well, let me ask you this. Are we truly doing the whole will of God when we obey, but then live our life to ourselves? Are we truly doing the will of God? Can we truly say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? It's more than just a holy life. It's more than just a life of obedience. Because God has a plan for this world. God has a plan for you. And doing His will is important to being able to accomplish that.
Amen.
Amen? Living in the kingdom of God means we are sincere in wanting to see God's will done in everything, in every part of our life. Is that fair? Praying that the God's kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it has in heaven begins with us individually. The kingdom's within us. If it's not happening there, folks, when we get together collectively, it ain't happening. God has a plan for His world. He has a plan to extend His kingdom. And you are part of that plan.
Yep.
If you have a part in the kingdom of God, you are part of that plan. Yep. To fulfill that plan, we need to strive to see His will done in our life. In all of it. Amen? Let me ask you, where do you see yourself in the kingdom of God? How do you see yourself in relation to the kingdom of God? Are you really committed to doing all of His will in everything, or you still want to just live a moral life and chart your own course? We're in a serious time. God has given us great and exceedingly great and wonderful promises concerning what we experience in salvation. God has given us great blessings in being able to be saved, be cleansed from sin, to be brought into fellowship with Him. But there's another side to that relationship. Relationships always have two sides, folks. We need to be doing our part. God has a will. We've been brought into His kingdom. Let's act like kingdom's children, citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's purpose that our prayer, "Thy will, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is a sincere prayer of our heart. Amen. So that we might see when we come together collectively His will done in a greater way. At some point we're going to get to the church is the visible expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. And boy, does that put an obligation on us and how we behave. Amen. But what happens in the church ought to be judged by the standard of what happens in heaven. I don't think that's overstating Scripture, folks. If the kingdom of God has indeed come into this world, and we have a foretaste of the kingdom to come, living in that kingdom brings obligations with it.
Amen.
Amen? And I pray God help us. Let's begin. The kingdom of God begins in our heart, within us. Let's make sure He's truly reigning. Let's make sure we're committed to obedience. And then beyond that, let's make sure we're committed to doing the whole will of God in our life so that we seek His will in every part. Amen? In our jobs, where we live, what we do, how we do. Amen? Our interaction with others. That all that, Thy will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Is that fair? God help us. As you stand, we close in a verse of song. Heavenly Father, we...